Take two. There's that base. Welcome to Man vs. World. I am your host, Mark Kweppen, and I am joined, as always, by Pete and also by Derek here, who's becoming more and more of a mainstay on the podcast. Let me get a little shout-out in the comments for Derek. Just, you know, make him feel good. You know, he needs some comments to pump him up a little bit here.
Yeah. there we go.
But today we're going to be continuing our conversation around the new God Mode operating system. If you haven't checked out the brand new guide that we launched, please make sure you click the link in the description and get it. It is a high-performance operating system, particularly targeted at Christian men who are leaders, influencers, and I guess, you know, like ministry leaders and stuff like that. Did I say business owners too? Entrepreneurs? Yeah. I mean, it's really like... Any of you, if you follow my stuff and you enjoy my stuff, you're gonna love it because it's the next evolution of that stuff. But it's really we're doubling down on the Christian angle. You know, there's business reasons for that, and then also just personally, it means a lot to all of us here. You know, Pete, Derek, and I, meaning, and I think that there's just a lot of untapped potential in Christian men today, and I think the world really needs that potential unleashed. So, guys, how you doing?
I'm great.
I'm doing awesome. How are you?
Doing pretty swell. It's my little daughter is now in. She started actually at Catholic school, the same one that not only I went to as a kid, but also the one my dad went to. So she's like third generation at this same place.
Oh my gosh.
Which is pretty wild. But it's great. You know, she really likes it. So, you know, it's fun. I don't know if we just didn't like the way that a lot of the public schools were going lately. I know that like homeschooling and stuff is like insanely on the rise. I just can't really work that on our end. Pete, you're the product of homeschooling, right?
Yes, I was. I was indeed. I didn't do real homeschooling where you're sitting at school, you know, at home doing school, but I did not go to school and my parents were both teachers. So I guess I lucked out, man. I was blessed. That's really cool.
Did you have to do like a lot of computer stuff, or there was like all like books and things like that?
I dabbled with Khan Academy briefly.
Okay.
Never did it seriously. That's about it. Boy Scouts.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, like all the home school kids that I knew growing up were all kind of like weird, but it seems like there was a shift at some point where like parents like figured out like how to do it right, and it's definitely right. Something I know more and more people are digging into these days. But
it's harder to get your kids together. You got to actually say, hey, you're this parent over here that lives close to me. Let's get our kids together so they can go play basketball or whatever, you know?
Yeah. I mean, now they have like whole like communities built around it. Like a lot of churches, they'll have like a whole like homeschool like community where a bunch of families get in on it and they do all kinds of stuff together and that kind of thing, which I think is great.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, today... We're going to be getting into more of the God Mode operating system, and in particular, we're going to be looking at the AIM pillar, which is all about really figuring out what the heck you want to do in your life. Like, you know, figuring out how are you going to organize your priorities, set your goals, all that kind of stuff. And this sounds maybe a little bit dry on the surface, but there's a lot of depth to this that really can just transform your day-to-day mode of living. Really, like when I like so much of this stuff is just treated so on such a cursory level, but it really affects everything because like when you have your priority set, you know what you're going for and you know how to do it in a way that really lights you on fire. It's kind of like the compass that you keep coming back to orient yourself. Like I remember I was writing an email today about how like the biggest thing that, well, not, maybe not the biggest thing, but one of the biggest things that really like separates, you know, medium performers from incredibly high performers is how quickly you can reorient yourself when like life hits you with a sucker punch. Like how long does it take you to get back on track when something goes south? Like, you know, a business opportunity falls through, you know, like maybe your laptop breaks, whatever. I remember back when I first started working with myself, just like things like that, that would like come along and kind of disrupt my flow. Like I could lose like days or even weeks sometimes of work. Just like either I would just fall into escapism or I would just get upset and just like put my head in the sand, or I would just get like emotionally reactive and just do like impulse things. And really the big thing that determines how quickly you can like get back on track is like how solid is like your self-management operating system. And I think this AIM component really starts to dial in like the specifics of that sort of work.
And we can put up the visual of, you know, for anyone who doesn't know what the framework, because AIM is part of a triangle visual that goes in the center of the whole God mode operating system. So if we can have the visual up so you can see, there's the dignified sacrifice, which is in the middle. You got the future self on the top, you got the instinct and intellect on the right and left, and you got the past self on the bottom. And then resonance is all around to find your path. And then this triangles in the middle, this is the map, and the AIM is the top part of the triangle.
Yeah.
Now, and before we get too deep into the AIM aspect, last podcast we talked about the future self. That was the main focus. And I just want to give a quick overview of that, because I don't know about you guys, but a lot of the times, okay, I figure out this is my ideal future self. This is who I believe I was created to be. Now what do? I pick a goal and I'm running after it. And I get caught up in the weeds, and the weeds sort of take over, and sometimes the cares of this world will sort of choke out that original vision of who I am, and I can lose sight of that. So what are some key things that we can remember while we're pursuing our aims?
Well, I mean, like the big piece, like the way we have it set up, like you got to remember the man that you're meant to be. You know, we got to remember, all right, here's like our dignified mentality, our dignified axioms. Here's like what we feel called to. And here's kind of like we have an idea of what our unique style is, like how we move through this world, like what are our strengths, what are our interests, and that sort of thing. And so that'll kind of keep you anchored. And that's like the first part of the map. But if you've got those things relatively locked down, then it's about like, all right, well, what specifically am I going to be working toward right now? And that's the key. So if you can get those things laid down first, and those are relatively static. I mean, you will not completely, like you will continue to update that as you gain more experience and insight and whatnot, but it's not something that you need to be fiddling with constantly. But with your aims, especially on the low level, that's where you need to have a little bit more agility in terms of like adjusting based upon how things are going. You know, maybe something changes course, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, this is the part that kind of moves a little bit.
And although the man part, the M, bottom left of the triangle, is pretty static, the job for us is to stay connected. And that's the major thing that kind of keeps everything together. Because if you're not connected, and then when you look at the whole God mode operating system, and we're borrowing from current psychology, the future self, right? So this man you want to become, you know, you got to stay connected to that. And the more connected you are to that, the more that you can operate through the rest of the map. If you're not, then you start to kind of do stuff that you don't, you know, that's not aligned with who you want to be. And then you just end up being more in the past than you are.
Yeah.
So what are some things that you guys do on a regular basis to stay connected to that?
So personally, like I have like a pretty regimented like self-organization system. It's like I have like a quarterly plan, and what that is like, you know, it's like almost like a project list that's like broken down into, all right, here are the work goals, here are the personal goals, and it's like just got like a bunch of the projects listed, and I update that regularly. But then really it's like the weekly and daily planning is where I do a lot of this self-connection. So it's like every week I will look at the quarterly plan and pull from that, to identify priorities for the week. And then every day I look at that daily, that weekly plan and get my priorities for the day. And so it's like, it, when you get into a rhythm of doing that, it sets up a really nice framework because one, it has you in constant self-connection with yourself and conversation because you're going to have to reevaluate things. You're going to have to adjust timelines. You're going to have to see, all right, this is working. This is not working. And it makes like one of those things where people always talked about that I didn't quite know how to really work effectively was like, yo, you got to have a weekly planning and review system. Like a lot of the OG self-development guys were always like really big on that kind of stuff. But like all their templates and things, like when it came to do the weekly review, it was just like, I don't know, this went good and this didn't go so good. And I was like, meh. But like when you plug it into like a actual system that's moving and updating, it's kind of just like it seems to work a lot better. Especially when you've got kind of a streamlined way of organizing that information. Like, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've like loaded all my stuff into a to-do list or whatever, and it just became like this big, massive, like mess of things that was too stressful to even open up. But when you properly segment everything, it feels very like compartmentalized and safe to show up, and you know, I can put like it just gives me all the context I need to like have a conversation with myself about what's going well, what needs to be adjusted, and exactly how to do that. And it sounds like, you know, kind of like duh, of course, but I think there's got to be like, I would say less than 10% of people actually have something like this, even smaller percentage of people like keep it up consistently and it's like used effectively. Most of us are just flying by the seat of our pants, which basically just means that we're going to let our past self call the shots. And that just means that your rate of growth is going to be so much slower, which is, you know, we got a lot into that in the last podcast.
Right on. What about you, Derek? What are some things you do to stay connected to the man you're meant to be?
Well, those were good stuff there that Mark just talked about. That a lot of that is in the planning part of the payment, which is the bottom right of the triangle. And so, I mean, one thing I was thinking when you were talking about all that is like everything, like doing all this stuff in the map is going to be keeping you connected, because I mean, because it's all stemming from right. The man part, the bottom left, right? So it kind of works. So anytime you're doing any of this stuff, you are connecting with your future self, because that's awesome. What it's all based around. But additionally, like visualization is really huge. And I know, like for me personally, it took me a little bit to just kind of like get over the negative connotation I had with that, because I did a lot of that when I was years ago. And I don't know, for whatever. Well, I think it had a lot to do with coming back to the faith and just having some negative associations with that word. But the reality of it is we're doing it all the time. And but by using that, the more that you can visualize and imagine, and that's part of the aim right here, mm-hmm. is the HCG, the highest conception of good. That's something that for me has been really strong lately, but there's a lot of different ways. But I think like we could probably do a whole podcast on that, like all the different ways to stay connected to the man that you want to be, your future self. But for right now, I think that's probably enough. Yeah. Visualization, that's a really big one.
And awesome. One thing I didn't mention was, which we'll get into more here, is like the target resonance piece that we're going to be covering here. That's something that's baked into everything that I do. That's the part of the aim that I probably utilize more than anything else in all of the planning stuff that I do. So I'm excited to talk about that piece, because I think that one's like a game changer when you really get to understand that, and it just makes life like very cool. It opens up a different just lens on operation that I'm pumped to talk about.
I'll add a little thing about the visualization, because I know like that's used a lot, that word's used a lot, but there's actually some pretty cool things we can do to like to do that. And I think we can talk about that on another podcast, so stay tuned. But that'll be fun to get into more, because there's actually a lot more than just like sitting there and closing your eyes that you can do to facilitate that process, which kind of ties in with HCG stuff.
Yeah.
So is that the first piece of this AIMS? Let's dive into the AIMS. So what is the AIMS?
So AIM has three main components: HCG, target resonance, and goals. And so let's I guess dive into HCG. What that is, that's an acronym that stands for highest conception of goodness. And what this is really about like expanding your filter for what's possible. Because I think a lot of times we just, our default is to enter into any sort of goal setting from like just where we're at. And the problem is where we're at is usually very heavily informed by who we were. And so if we go into goal setting, just like thinking like the person that we've always been, then we're only going to be able to, we're going to be constricting what we would entertain as a real possibility for ourselves. We're going to be saying, thinking like, oh, well, I've always been this kind of guy. So, you know, I could probably be maybe a little bit better than where I'm at now. Like that seems reasonable. And what we got to do is we got to really expand that because there's so much more that I think you can accomplish. And the first step of it is really just opening up that filter and thinking like, well, what's the most good thing I can create here, you know? And I think that this starts to erode a lot of the binary sort of thinking that really hamstrings people. Like one of the big things I learned, like when I was trained to be a life coach, is this idea of creating like win-wins and stuff like that. Like realizing that, okay, I don't need, like it's not just like I have to, like in order to win in business, it means I have to lose in my personal life. You know, a lot of people have that kind of binary, or it's like, oh, if I make a bunch of money, then that means I have to beat these other people and they're not going to be able to make the money. But when you think about, well, what's actually more good than that? Well, what's more good than that is that, well, I make a bunch of money and I help other people make a bunch of money. And it also helps my personal life. It doesn't just stomp all over my personal life. And yes, yeah, sometimes there may be trade-offs and stuff that we have to consider, but we got to start the conversation from a place of like, well, what if everybody wins and what if everybody gets exactly what they want? And you can start, you know, pulling things back from there as circumstances demand. But if you don't start from that broad perspective, then you're already going to be, you know, taking off from like a losing like starting point.
Yeah. HCG is like my favorite, I think, out of all the stuff, because it's just, you mentioned it to me a while back and I thought this is great, because first of all, imagination is a huge part of it. Like if you don't have the faculty of imagination, I think that's like the piece that if you want to increase your HCG, you've got to increase your imagination. And I'm kind of an idealist, so it's like I always kind of think this way. So I just love the phrase because it just kind of put it all into a nice little thing to understand. But it's like, how can you look at something and go, okay, what's the ideal situation? And then what is, how can I make it even more ideal?
Right.
And that's where you can start, getting your imagination in there. And how do you do that? Well, it's like information, like getting more input and like getting inspired by other things, whether it's other people, other methods of thinking, other art, other whatever it is that like, you know, just more input, I think like helps you draw from different things, get inspiration from things. And you just go, how can this be better? It's like looking at a garden, you know, it's like, or a piece of dirt, right? In your backyard, you're like, what can this be like? Right. And it's like, oh, I can make a garden. It's going to be like this and like that. And oh, how about if I make it? You're basically designing. Right. And so it's just like, you need to have patience as well, because I find that some people can get like a little, you need patience and hope.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking of this off the cuff here, but like, if you don't have any hope, then you won't be able to allow yourself to actually go there.
Right.
It's like, because people often get like, most people will get discouraged. They'll think, well, that's not possible. But and they keep saying that, and then you just stomp on everything that comes to your mind. And that's like the big no-no in like imagination. You got to allow yourself to just kind of go with it. But I think this is a place in this whole triangle and in this whole framework where you can have a lot of fun, and you have to allow yourself to go there and give yourself permission. This is a really big practice that will fuel the whole, your whole journey here.
Yeah. And one thing that you want to keep in mind as you do this, especially if you're interacting with other people, is that not everybody is ready for this kind of thinking. Mm, yes. You'll get strong pushback from this. Like, You know, it's like, for example, someone who, like, I'll use myself as an example. Okay. It's like, I went to school, got a software engineering degree, had a good software engineering job. And I was like, I think I want to work for myself. I'm going to make YouTube videos and I'm going to be a life coach at age 23. And because I had this vision, I had this highest conception of goodness, and it seemed totally legit and possible to me. But then everyone else, they didn't know what I was thinking. They didn't expand their perception. They were putting their filter of like what they expect from a 23-year-old on me. And a lot of people kind of tried to discourage me from it. You know, luckily I did have some people who, you know, the most important people were willing to, you know, support me. But the thing is, like, you will get pushback from people when you have a big vision, especially if it's a good vision, if it's an ambitious one, a positive one, because people are cynical and jaded. And that's a protective mechanism, because if they can put that filter of like, it's too hard, you can't pull that off, then what that really does for them is that gives them permission to not think big. And it can be scary. It can be scary to like wade into the waters of looking at your daydreams with a level of seriousness, right? That, because then like all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, if I could get that, then what the hell am I doing? Right? Like it makes you start second guessing your life choices and all that kind of thing. And some people, they're not ready for that kind of conversation. They're not ready to examine that. And so the knee-jerk reaction is to just try and shoot you down. So as you start expanding your HCG, expect some pushback from people and realize that, you know, if you're not getting that, then you may not actually be thinking big enough, to be quite honest with you. If no one's dumping on your vision, then chances are it's probably not like big or ambitious enough for you. Yeah.
Yeah. I like to think too of heaven, because heaven would be this concept of like the most, you know, unexplainable experience of goodness, right? And so like we're living in our world right now and there's some finiteness to it. And so we can't actually have heaven here. We have heaven, you know, after life. And we're trying to bring in as much of this heaven idea into our world right now and into your own life. And it's like wherever we are right now, it's like there's this ever expanding, because it's infinite, possibility to increase our highest conception of good. And like, how beautiful is that? So it never freaking ends, you know, and we can bring that into our life. We can bring it into every parts of our life. We can bring it into our business. We can bring it into our goals. We can bring it into a daily thing, you know, like with your partner. It's like, oh, here's this little thing that I'm about to do with my partner or my friend. What's my highest conception of good for this one thing? Right. You know, like going out for a coffee. And out of just thinking about that, you might go, oh, I'm gonna give them a big smile and a big hug. Like, it's just that one little thing, and it just adds that extra layer of goodness into the situation, and then it leads to something else and something else.
Right. And I find that perpetually rewarding, like with my daughter, because like, you know, when you're working hard and your time's crunched and that kind of thing, you know, it's like, oh, I gotta, like, there's a part of me that's like, oh, I gotta play with my daughter. I gotta pick her up, or I gotta spend all Saturday with her. And there's this part that's just like, you know, feels this resistance or like negativity around it. But then I think like, okay, well, what if this was awesome? You know, what if like I really went all in on this thing? And I think that's what HCG kind of allows you to do, is it allows you to go all in on any given moment in your life, because you can turn any given moment, even if it's relatively mundane, into something that it has significant value and meaning to you. Even something as, you know, basic as like doing the dishes, like you can turn that into an experience of like mindfulness and gratitude if you want, or you can turn it into like a game where you turn it into like you practice being massively optimized and focused, and like, you know, whatever it is you want to do, like whatever is appealing to you. Like, we're always trying to find that resonant point between intellect and instinct that kind of lights you on fire. So yeah, I think that's something that's really quite, there's something profound to it when this becomes like a default frame for approaching any given situation.
It's so profound. Like I found that it's been a huge part of my growth in my spiritual life and, well, in all parts, but I mean, it's tapping me into something with connecting to God, really. Like, because it, I'm realizing that if I can, the more I master HCG, the more I'm experiencing heaven, and the more I'm bringing it into my life and into the world. And it's like, so I'm really, really seeing the power of HCG. And I hope that, you know, whoever's listening totally takes this seriously. It's the foundation for the aim of the map.
Right.
So that's why we put it in there as like a, because it's not really like a thing, but it's like, it's the substratum to the aim. Because if you don't have it, then your aim's not going to be that exciting. And it's not going to live up to the biggest potential that you, that might be possible for you.
Right. And one thing, which is one final point I would add to it, is like, you want to be careful, particularly when you're doing work with other people. Like, you don't want to be always flying off into like unlimited possibility. Okay. Yes. Like, there's a way to utilize it within constraint. Okay. So it's like, if you're working with someone around a project and, you know, the scope is already defined and that sort of thing, it's like, it's probably not the time to be like,
are you talking about ours, Mark?
Well, I'm basically calling out Derek right now. But
yeah. Well, this was a really good lesson. Let's share it.
Yeah.
Because that was super valuable for me. So when you said define, because like when you are working with others, so when you're working on your own with this, you have your own thoughts to kind of work through and everything. When you include another, let's use a partnership, like you're married, right? And you bring, and let's say you're starting to work on something. Let's say you're designing your new home, right? And you're halfway through and you've decided on several things, right? Like the dimensions of the place, let's say. And then, you know, you have this other idea, because your highest conception of good was like, just got increased, right? And you're like, oh, but if we added another room, you know, and it would only mean that I would have to do this and do that. And then you bring that to the other person, you have to realize that they may not be as open to that new like level of HCG within the context that you've already set up in, like into where you are, because it might be a lot for them, and they just might not have the, because it takes like a bandwidth to be able to like sift through the possibilities, you know? So I'm so happy you said that, you mentioned this, because it's something that was a big thing for me to realize that, you know, you got to work with the reality of like working with others and the time, like, cause you could sit there and imagine things for the rest of your life, right? Like it never ends. So there's some point where you actually start putting things into place and you kind of have to respect that process. So
even when you're not working with other people, I think, because there is this danger of like, just,
and then you just keep going in circles and circles.
You just like, you just stay in this imagination zone and you don't take action. Yes. And really where HCG, I think, shines the most is when there are clearly defined constraints. Like that is like HCG is kind of like the gateway to living life artistically. And you can't create art unless you have constraints. Like if you want to create music, well, all right, what music or like what instruments are you going to use, right? You have to define that. You have to, like, you know, are you going to paint? Okay, well, what colored paints are going to be on the easel? Like there has to be a limit. And when you
set, that's actually a huge point.
Yeah,
is the constraints, and that's how HCG. That's when there's the most purpose for HCG, because we're not in heaven, right? So. That's actually a huge point, is the constraints.
Right. And so the constraints, if you set it up properly, that's the man segment. That's the man that you want to be. And that becomes kind of like your set of constraints. And you're like, all right, well, what's the greatest thing I can create within these constraints? And there's still kind of like that unlimited upward mobility. We don't put a ceiling on, but we do limit the pathways that we're going to be considering, because that's what allows us to really start getting focused and taking action.
And look, this is like an art, like this whole thing, like all the whole framework, the whole God mode operating system, this is life, right? Yeah. So it's like, we're figuring all this stuff out, like as you go along, you're learning new nuances of it and how to like play it out in your own life. And you're trying something here, you're trying something there. You don't want to get too worried about like getting things just what you might think of as perfect, because you're going to learn something new while doing it. So, you know, that's something to keep in mind as well.
Yeah. One thing that Mark touched on earlier that is interesting to me is he was talking about, basically, you don't go out and share this with everybody. And it reminds me of the story of Joseph, the guy with the colorful coat, who tells all his brothers, hey, I'm going to rule over you and you're going to bow down to me. And they go take him and throw him in a pit somewhere or something. You know, they try to kill him. So When do you share this with people? Is there ever an appropriate time to share it with people? Because it's really tempting, and we get a little dopamine kick when we share this stuff with people because we think we're making progress towards it. So what's your take on that?
I think that you just have to be making sure that like it fits with your plan. Okay. Like there are some people who think that like talking about your goals and your vision actually takes away energy from it. And it's for that reason that you're talking about is like, okay, they're getting this dopamine hit. They're getting this status increase without doing anything. They're just talking a big game. And some people get hooked on that. But there's also other people where like, you know, talking about their vision and their goals actually, it makes it more real to them. Like, for example, with me, like back when I quit porn, okay, the fact that I like put myself on YouTube as like a porn free guy, this is like who I'm going to be. I'm never going to use this stuff again. That provided a level of accountability and realness to it that made it so that like, okay, well, I can't go back on this because like then everything that I'm doing is going to get undone. And so you got to like in part figure out like how you work, but then also it's just, you got to figure out like, is this actually serve my goal, right? Like for me, promoting my lifestyle, that served my goal of helping other people step into that lifestyle as well. Like you just bragging at a party or whatever, that doesn't really do anything for you. That just gives you kind of that cheap high. So I think it's something each individual is going to have to feel out, and everyone's got a different style around it. But that's the style piece. You know, it's like, are you someone who wants to talk, or you just want to be like, go into monk mode, disappear for a year and come back and be like, hey, check this thing I built, you know?
Yeah. And you also got to be like thoughtful of who you're sharing it with, right? You want to share this stuff with people that, you know, are going to encourage you and give you, and if they're going to give you feedback, it's going to be like constructive. And, but yeah, I agree with everything you just said. Like you gotta think for yourself and based on who you are and all that. But there's no perfect right or wrong, because there's evidence that for both sides.
Yeah.
Right on. Okay, so we got the HCG. What's the next piece of this puzzle here?
So the next piece is my personal favorite, which is the target resonance. Okay. So like you've expanded your conception of what's possible with the HCG. But then we got to start working towards something. Now, the thing is, like, sometimes you just don't really know what the exact goal should be. You might just have like the vaguest notion. And for some people, even when they start thinking bigger and then it starts coming to the next step, like, okay, well, how are we going to start taking action on this? They get filled with anxiety. They get filled with maybe a sense of inadequacy or maybe imposter syndrome or all this other kind of negative emotional stuff comes up. And this is a big problem because your ability to choose your path, to map your path forward and everything like that is heavily influenced by your emotional state. So if you are in a negative emotional state while you are going through this process of, you know, creating your goals and your plans and all this kind of thing, your decision-making is going to be dramatically impaired. And so this is something that I've seen happen constantly. So like, for example, a guy who like, you know, maybe runs a business and his business is just like maybe something broke, like a big piece of equipment broke or whatever. And all of a sudden he's dealing with this financial struggle. If he just goes into a state of stress and worry, the decisions that he's going to make to try and solve that problem usually end up actually exacerbating the problem. This is kind of like the law of attraction in action. So like, you know, that guy who's stressed about money, maybe he starts, all right, well, I gotta fire this person. I gotta cut this expense and cut that expense and yada, yada. And he's just myopically focused on like making this immediate feeling decrease. He might actually end up putting himself in a position where, oh, he cut all this stuff. Now his business runs worse and it actually performs even more poorly, which actually just increases his financial stress. And so what target resonance is about is like, okay, before we actually start picking our goals here, what we need to do is pick our emotional state that we want to feel, okay? Because at the end of the day, every single goal that we set is ultimately, where we're ultimately doing it to create some kind of feeling. That's what we all want at the end of the day. If we could like do something that just put us in instant bliss in heaven, that's what everyone would do. okay? Because at the end of the day, we only care about the quality of our experience. Like, what is it that we feel? And so we put this very much at the center of the aim part, because what we're looking for is like, all right, what's the ideal, like, what's the feeling I'm looking for if I solved my problems and I met my goals perfectly? What is that end result feeling I'm looking for? And you can do this on a macro level for your whole life. But I use it constantly in just little minute things. So it's like, if I'm creating an email, for example, it's like, all right, how do I want to feel at the end of this email? How do I want to feel about this email? What kind of feeling do I want to create in this person? And I allow myself to imagine that I did it perfectly. And I say, well, what would that feel like? Am I fired up? Am I just at peace? Am I, feeling like a sense of clarity? Like, what is it exactly? And this like puts you in a place then when you calibrate your brain for that end result, what ends up occurring then is you have this filter where you can then look at various different goals and see, all right, does it resonate with the end feeling I'm trying to create? Is there a match, right? Does it go ding? Oh yeah, that clicks. Or does it go like clunk, clunk, doesn't fit, right? And so this is like the really where the instinct and intellect is most maybe practically put into play in the whole map aspect, which I think, when you get it down, it makes life almost like musical. Okay, it's like, people say, he's playing chess I'm playing chess while he's playing checkers. Okay, it's like, well, forget chess or checkers, play music. Like, what you're looking for is like you're like surfing vibes here. It's like you're trying to constantly. Yeah, I said vibes.
I was just going to say that you did an awesome demo of this in the Momentum Method.
I don't know if we ended up using that one. Did we end up using
it? Oh, really? Well,
we did. I can't remember
if it was so cool. No, I'm pretty sure we did.
I think
like,
we did.
I loved it. It was so good. Like what you were just talking about this music, it's kind of like it was a great representation of kind of how we experience this process of finding that ding, 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 even just sitting at the restaurant table and picking something on the menu.
yeah. So I mean, like,
sorry to interrupt.
No. I mean that was pretty much it. It's like what you're learning to do. It's like I was reading. I try to keep up to date on like popular self-development stuff. And Scott Adams, he has a new book out. He's the guy who created Dilbert. He has a famous like self-help book called How to Fail at Almost Everything and Still Win Big, where he introduced like a few different ideas that were like really popular, like the whole idea of systems versus goals. And he had another big one too, but he had a new book that came out all about reframing reality. And one of his big points was you want to manage energy, not just time, because like your energy has a much bigger impact on what you end up doing with your time. So for example, if you've got an hour of like super high energy, clear brain, focus, motivation, you can get way more done in that hour than like an hour where you're like drained, stressed, and worried. And this idea of target resonance, it takes this idea of managing energy and really turns it into an art form that you can master and perfect so that you are constantly like surfing like your optimum headspace for high performance.
This is really interesting to me, and I love this concept. It reminds me of something I heard. There was this Christian minister who went to go talk to Will Smith at his house. And so he walks into Will Smith's house, and there's this gigantic wall covered with Post-it notes. And the guy goes, what is with all this? And Will Smith goes, oh, this is the movie I'm working on. And he goes, wow, this looks incredibly convoluted and very difficult. How on earth do you start something like this? And he goes, oh, well, that's the easy part. You start with the end scene, and everything else is just building up to that.
Right. That's what a lot of artists created. It's like, I want to create this one scene, right? I want to create this one moment of impact. I was reading this one book about storytelling, and the guy's whole theory on how to create an incredibly compelling story is like, the whole story should be built around making people feel one specific thing that you really care about. And when you get that key like feeling locked down, then that gives you the like the energetic infrastructure, the energetic skeleton that you can start adding like the practical meat on top of. But that's not just for like, you know, telling stories, it's for living your story. So by like dialing into that that point where it's just like, oh yes, that's what I want, and you can just imagine the feeling, you don't have any of the specifics yet, that's what ultimately actually lets you lay out the specifics to get to that state.
Yeah, and the M, the man, the bottom left corner of the triangle, is like a nice base, a very good strong base to kind of connect with. If you maybe you're having, so maybe there's a certain little decision you're making, or maybe a big decision you're trying to, you know, use your target resonance, find the target resonance, use your resonance to find the target. You would go connect to the man, the work that you've already done on the man that you want to be, the future self, and then that'll guide you to it, right? And then maybe what, for whatever specific thing, maybe it's a project or whatever, then you can go based upon that man, that space of how that person feels. Now, okay, how does that man want to feel about this thing? And that'll help guide, you know, through the nuances of it.
Yeah, because really, like, we have to be listening to feedback from all of ourselves, right? And this part is very much tied into making sure that the instinctual aspect of you is aligned, because this is necessary. Because if that instinctual aspect is not lit up, like if you're not pursuing something that feels good, then that part will not help you, meaning like your limbic system will not produce the neurochemicals that will drive you to be motivated and focused properly to pursue these things. And so we make sure we get that nailed down before we set any specific, like super specific goals, because if we can get the feeling locked in, then we already have the limbic system on board, and that's the engine, that's the thing that really determines whether you're going to end up doing something or not.
Yeah, and I'm thinking the reason why you start with that and you're saying like you got to get the instinct back into it is because we're talking to men, right? Yeah. And so oftentimes that's the part of the instinct and intellect that we haven't really learned how to use. It's like as well as we could. And normally, you know, a lot of us are more intellect driven, right? So we're trying to find out the perfect answer to this thing. And it's like, okay, but there's probably many answers, you know, many ways, and you're going to have to use your instinct based upon who you are. And so that's often an instinct. I think most guys can benefit from more, getting more in touch with their instinct. But I say that because it might be the other way around, right? And oftentimes we have to feed our intellect more information through the posit. See, that's why HCG is important, because if you haven't thought of what might be possible, and then go find information about that, those possibilities, to then inform the new possibility, and then work your instinct with that. So you need the information to form the intellect, and then you need the connection with your instinct to listen to it. You're not pushing it away. You're not ignoring it. Like, for instance, I really need a break. I really need a break. I can feel it. And you go, no, I'm just gonna, but I can't because I gotta do this thing, and boom, boom. And you're using your intellect too much. You end up neglecting the instinct that you need recovery, you end up having poor quality output.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so you do need both, but oftentimes for us guys, we talk about instinct a little bit more than intellect.
Yeah. And I would say another reason why I put so much emphasis on the instinctual aspect is because we live in the age of the internet. So like information is as easy to come by as it's ever been. And it's only going to get easier, barring, you know, a total grid meltdown. Okay. So it's like right now, like we're drowning in intellectual, you know, surplus. And what we really need is to reconnect to who the hell are we? What are we wired for? And when you start bringing that into your decision making, well, that's just going to allow you to filter out all the noise, all the stuff that's irrelevant to you, because it doesn't click with you, right? Like in the era of gurus, like that are, you know, just there's more every single day. They're always going to be telling you to do this, do that, do whatever. And really, what we set up our program to be, like the God Mode operating system, it's more of like a meta system, all right? It's like we call it an operating system because, like, when you get this stuff down, you can install whatever thing you want to do, whether it's a business plan, whether it's a diet plan, whether it's like a dating plan, whatever the heck it is you're looking to do. When you operate from this place, this like kind of God conscious, this intuitive conscious sort of approach, you're going to be able to sort through all those intellectual options and figure out, oh, here's the one that really actually clicks with me. And that's the thing. Everyone's like, the big thing for most people is like they're lacking compliance, or they're lacking just the ability to make a decision so that then they can comply with whatever plan it is they come up with.
Yeah. And then through dignity, we can actually interact with the intellect and instinct, mm-hmm. right? Because without the dignity, we push away one of them,
yep.
not listening to those parts of us. And then when we integrate, like integer, Cardinal Collins said this in the interview that I had with him, it's like integer, which is one, right? So we want to bring everything into one. And then once we do that, this is how this gets so powerful, where we're just starting to flow into action, flow into our performance, instead of having all this like clutter that just stops us. And that's why this is an operating system. It's like a smoothly operating system. And then we can add in other programs, because there's always something new, because those are new ideas, new intellect that comes into play based on experiences, science, whatever. And we solve them. We put them in and they actually get done, because you start to do what you say you're gonna do.
Right.
And that becomes the least part of your worry. And that's right. Usually most people's biggest worry is, well, I'll say that, but will I actually do all that stuff?
Right.
You don't trust yourself, you know? Right. And even like really successful people, or people that you might think of are a lot further than you, they're still struggling with stuff like that. So this is everyone.
Yeah.
And that's why I think this is such a jewel, because when you have this, you start feeling like a certainty, like, oh yeah, well, it's gonna, you know, my vision for my future, for the man that I want to be, and the good that I'm coming up with, it's gonna come to play, you know.
It's almost like when you really lock this stuff in, it's more than that. It's like more than just like you trust that you'll do it. It's like you won't really have a choice. It's kind of like how someone who's in a dysfunctional mindset, they know that they're going to, like, they're stuck and dysfunctional, and they're going to keep doing these dysfunctional things, whether they want to or not. But when you shift, like, the framework of your whole thought process, you shift the way in which you are basically the way in which you're pointing your awareness through your life, and you put it in the right kind of order, then that same sort of like automatic self-destruction behavior, the automatic behavior just starts going to productive and fruitful and helpful. And so that's why it's so exciting, because it starts to feel automatic. It starts to feel so natural, so effortless.
You hear people talk about how the way you kill a man's vision is to give him two. And it sounds like, based on what Derek's talking about, this is an excellent way to cut all the noise. Goes to what Rick Rubin was talking about. Mark and I were talking about this on a podcast a while back. Rick Rubin says, what's the least number of things I need to achieve the desired feeling that I'm going for? And mm-hmm. It seems like the God mode operating system is a way of cutting off all the stuff that's not helping you achieve the main outcome that you're going for.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's, we struggle with bloat today. You know, it's like we are an age of excess. And really, if you want to be operating at your best, you got to be lean. You got to be focused. And, you know, you can't force that. Like a forced kind of like constraint, that will just actually just grind against you. That'll be something that'll be oppressive. It'll be something where it's like you feel like you have to constantly be killing like parts of yourself that you don't really want to kill. And it's like your choice then is to either wallow in mediocrity or to actually inflict that violence upon yourself and cut off these other more authentic parts of yourself. And so it's like, you know, this is the only way to high performance in an authentic way, where you're actually working with the fullness and the best that you have to offer.
Just to add to like the eliminate part is huge. Like in our world, eliminating is so big, because there's so much stuff coming at us. Visions, whatever, like, so if we can eliminate, that's going to help a lot in keeping to focused on your aim.
So that brings us to the next piece of this. There's one more aspect to the aim part of this whole formula. Am I mistaken?
No, you're right.
Nope, goals. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Oops.
Oops, you spoiled it. So what are goals anything more than they sound? It sounds like, what's the difference between goals, I guess, and what we're talking about here? Because Mark just talked, you know, you start with the ultimate feeling. Mm-hmm. So is the goal the specific thing that will bring you that feeling? How do you come to that?
Yeah, basically. So it's like, say you want to get in shape, all right? And that notion is very vague right now. Okay, well, it's like, all right, well, how would you feel if you got in shape? That's your target resonance. And you can hold that resonance inside of yourself. And you're like, ooh, I like that feeling. And you just plug into that whenever you're working on it. But then you need to be like, okay, well, let's define what the heck being in shape means for me. Okay, maybe it means losing 20 pounds in, you know, and maybe we're going to put a timeline on it. I want to lose 20 pounds in 6 months or something like that. And I want to be able to deadlift, you know, double my body weight or whatever it is. It's like, and this is where you just start getting specific with things. Like there was a model that they taught us back when I was training to be a coach called Aim Smart, where you basically are looking to create just, what is it? SMART stands for specific, measurable, actionable, realistic, and timely goals. So it's like you're just going to nail it all down. And like I think the aim part was like, you know, what's the ideal? Oh, yeah, it's like the something like the bare minimum, the ideal, and then you're probably going to aim for something kind of in the middle. So it's like you're just dialing it in. So there's a bunch of different things you can talk about with getting goals, but ultimately what you just want is a specific outcome that you're shooting for. And the really like the goals really start to be really useful when you have kind of like a series of telescoping sort of goals where you've got maybe big high level ones, maybe at the 5-10 year mark, maybe even beyond if you've got that kind of clarity. But then you break them down, right? You break them down into, you know, yearly, quarterly, weekly, daily sort of goals. And so like ultimately when I work on my daily goals, at least most of them, you know, sometimes, you know, especially at the daily level, maybe you're just taking care of some basic stuff that needs to get done. But a big chunk of them day to day, they should like those little tiny daily goals should be serving my big 10-year goals, right? And if there's not that sort of linear, like nesting characteristic to them, then you're not going to make progress. that's really what it is at the end of the day. So it's like what you want is a host of goals, big ones, but then you want to chunk them all down. You want to make sure that you're only got a few number of goals really active at any given time. Because like the thing that's going to really kill you is if you start diluting your effort. And so, you know, there's a lot that goes into how you might want to lay these out, how you want to like, cause you can't do them all. Like you can get it all. You just can't get it all at once is one of the biggest things I've had to repeat kind of ad nauseum as a coach, especially cause I work with ambitious guys. They want to do so much awesome stuff and that's great, but let's bring it down a little bit. Let's get laser focused because, you know, a few goals taken on with full intensity, that's actually going to allow you to reach all your goals much more quickly than if you just try and like do it all at once. You know, if you do it all at once, you're just going to burn out and not make any progress. Like I pretty much guarantee it.
Mm, yep. And so that leads to the thought about dignity, right? So this whole system is founded on dignity, and you got dignified sacrifice being like kind of the centerpiece of the whole framework. So we got dignified goals. It's not just any goal. When you do the work on the man part of the map, and then you work with your HCG, your highest conception of good, and you're using your target resonance, you're using resonance to find your target resonance, you can find your dignified goals. And so could you give some examples of some dignified goals and maybe undignified goals that are typical for most ambitious guys?
Sure. So I think that like one way to do it, like to mess this up is to aim like too big, too fast, where they'll say something like, you know, I want to build a, you know, a 7-figure business from scratch in 1 year. And it's like, it's not that it's impossible, but it's like, do you have any conception of what that even means, how to do it, anything like that? Maybe a more dignified goal would be to aim for something that you know you could accomplish. It's like, I want to make my first $1,000 per month, and I want to get steady at $1,000 per month right now. And that would be particularly dignified if, you know, you have limited amounts of knowledge or you've got a high degree of, you know, worry and anxiety. You know, I think some guys, they just actually stress themselves out and they feel like they listen to like these very inspiring, you know, guru type teachers, and they think they have to aim for the stars immediately. Now, that, you know, keep the highest conception of goodness, but when it comes down to actually constructing the goals, it's got to feel totally doable for you. Okay. It's got to feel like, hey, I could do that, right? Like, because if you can't maintain a good sign that you're falling into an undignified goal is that you're struggling to maintain the target resonance. It's like, you know, if you, for example, go back to diet stuff, because everybody's got, you know, familiarity with that sort of thing, or at least most people do, is like, if you think about your diet and it makes you kind of like, ugh, it fills you with kind of like anxiety or dread or worry, then that means that you're not listening to some part of you that's giving you feedback that's saying, hey, this doesn't really click. So that would be an example.
Yeah. So I think that's a perfect example of like how, like, this stuff is so, when you bring target resonance into all of this, that's why this is, that's the power of this whole operating system, is that it's for you. And the answer to that question that I asked is not for, like, your answer isn't for every single person, because until you got into the target resonance, because you have to use your resonance ability to figure out if that is undignified for you. Because we can't tell you. Well, I mean, there might be some things that are like undignified that are super like across the board, but a lot of the things are going to just be like depending upon you, right? So are you doing it for like undignified reasons? Like, what's your reasoning behind the goal, right? So, but we can't tell you exactly, well, that's definitely undignified, and that is, you know, for some things, right? Because maybe somebody might want that, and it comes from a place that, you know, isn't coming from because of they have a lack of worth or something like that, or whatever it is. So target the resonance, you have to use that to be able to like make sense of it for yourself.
Yeah.
And so there, yeah, go ahead.
I was just gonna say the other big place that people screw it up is like, I kind of hit it on already, but I just want to make it clear like how it ties to dignity, is the idea of doing it all at once. Like, one of the main reasons that people fall into that trap is because they feel like doing it all at once is a shortcut to self-validation. It's like, when they think about themselves seriously, they're like, shit, the guy I'm meant to be is nothing like how I'm currently living. So let's get away from this guy as fast as possible, because this guy sucks. And so that's what drives them to try and do too much at once. And that's not dignified. Okay. It's like, you're not actually showing up, then you're running away. You're running away from yourself, and you're trying to take a shortcut that's probably almost certainly not going to work. But when you have a connection to your own sense of dignity, you realize, hey, I'm not any worse, even though maybe objectively I'm underperforming. Like, my worth as a person does not diminish. And since I accept that, I don't need to sprint through this process. I can do it right. All right. It's like, I found that like in like when I first started, you know, doing like working for myself and stuff like that, I was very attracted to like, what's the fastest program? What's the hack that's going to like, you know, allow me to turn things around the quickest and, you know, make incredible progress in just, you know, 12 weeks and that kind of thing. And as I've gotten older and smarter and experienced a heck of a lot more, what I'm really looking for is like someone who's going to take me to my goal as efficiently and sustainably as possible. It's like, what's like the thing, like, they, you know, they say that's like, okay, just for example, say it's the weight loss thing. If someone loses weight slowly over a year, their chances of like maintaining that weight loss are like way higher than someone who does like a crash diet and starves themselves for a month. You do that, your chances of relapse and weight gain and potentially even gaining more weight are actually very high. It's like, what you're looking for. Right. Yeah. Exactly. So it's like, the fastest way in many cases is actually a little bit slower than like the theoretically most optimized path, because they will actually get you there, and then keep going. You know, there are
unless exceptions. You ask a question like, you know, okay, if I win the lottery, that's, you know, the 95% or whatever, you know, lose all their money. So that I'm likely going to lose all my money unless, and you can ask that question, unless, okay, what's the unless piece? Well, unless I get like, I go through a whole program on, you know, financial literacy or whatever. Okay, then I can do that.
Right. Yeah.
So asking that question, unless, I think, where did I get that from? It was Dr. Ben Hardy with 10x is bigger than or easier than 2x. He talked about that. The unless, I think it was from another dude, Daniel. I can't remember the name, but anyhow, very powerful statement to ask yourself. Unless.
Yes.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That is interesting.
It's a way of challenging. It's going back to the HCG and challenging it. But this is an example of like the HCG in work, and how it can be kind of. You have to. It's an art.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you're gonna use your resonance to figure out where you want to go. You know, if it's gonna make you so stressed out, you know, it's just like, well, you know, that's a good sign. But the stress might be based upon some lack of information on the intellect side.
Could be. Yeah.
So, but it's an art form, and there's no. We're all unique, and we're all like imperfect, and so you got to find the thing that's gonna work.
Right. So much of it's like finding the poles, and then you find that middle piece. So it's like we have instinct and intellect. We want to find that intersection point. But I think also, like, you know, as you're talking about the HCG there and this unless concept, like, there's a flip side to HCG as well. It's like, all right, what's the highest conception of goodness? Okay, it's this great thing. Well, it's like, what's the way that we are most likely to absolutely screw this up? How do we avoid that thing? Yep. You know, it's like, instead, like, there's a, what is it? Some kind of razor. Like, there's all these like mental models for thinking. I can't remember the name of this one, but it's like, instead of trying to be really smart, okay, what are the things that you can do to avoid being dumb? And like, you factor that in, that's like the flip side of the HCG. And it's like, okay, well, that's in many cases, and for most people, the dumb thing that you could do, that's the past self. That's like, all right, how does the old dysfunctional me, how does he screw this up? And you get awareness around that, and you avoid that thing while staying open to the highest conception of goodness, you're probably going to find your resonant path forward.
Yeah. I think his name is Daniel Gilbert. It's, he did work on constraint theory, which we've talked about. And he talks about, when you're the decision-making process, you ask yourself, like, what's the worst case scenario? Right. And then what's the worst case good scenario, like benefit?
Mm.
And so if those two things you're okay with, that's a good place to go to start.
Yeah.
You know? What do you mean by worst case good scenario? Like best case scenario, or is it different?
Yeah. It's like, okay, well, what's the worst? Like, okay, I'm going to make 10 YouTube videos. Okay.
Yeah.
Worst case scenario. On the good side is, well, I have 10 videos on, and I've got probably like, you could think of like, okay, I'm probably going to get like 500 views on each. That's the worst case good scenario. Like there's going to, or sorry, it's a better way of saying it is the worst case benefit.
Right.
Because there's going to be a benefit from your action. It might even just be, I'm going to learn something.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's like, can I live with the worst case benefit? And can I live with the worst case scenario in general?
Yeah.
Right.
Worst case negative, I guess the better way of saying it.
That's really powerful for setting goals, especially when you're feeling some anxiety around this stuff. Like back when I like made the decision to really try and scale the work that, you know, we're doing here, it's like, all right, well, I'm gonna have to get some loans and take on money and that kind of stuff. And it's a little stressful. It's like, well, shoot, what if I can't, you know, pay for it? What if I can't keep up with it? What if, you know, it doesn't work out? Well, it's like, oh, I go bankrupt. And like, that would like haunt me until I really like sat down and looked at it. I was like, okay, well, say I go bankrupt. What could I do with that? What's the opportunity there? And I fleshed it out. I was like, oh, well, I, you know, make a smaller, more streamlined thing. And it could work out actually just fine. And like, I could trust that if I'm following resonance, like, especially from this Christian perspective, I feel like I am truly like listening to the will of God in my life, and I'm truly doing my very best. And then if God says, okay, yep, that didn't work out, then I can trust that, oh, that's exactly what was supposed to happen, and I was supposed to go that route. And I can even start to see how it could work out. It's kind of like giving yourself these contingencies for how you can keep going, which, like, even if things like crap really hits the fan in the worst way possible, it's like you're not planning for that. You're not aiming for that. But really what it does is just releases some of that tension that you might be starting to build up in your shoulders as, like, you know, you're dealing with the struggles of moving forward.
So just to be clear, you were saying that you you're using the example of, like, the bankruptcy thing, the worst case scenario, and then it created some tension.
Yep.
And then you got some more information, whether through it was just your own thinking it through or whatever. And then you became, the tension started fading a bit.
Yeah, because I realized that there was still even, like, a resonant path in that scenario. Yes,
and that's the key, right? Because that's a good example of the art of HCG with your target resonance. Because what the other path could have been, oh, here's the worst case scenario. Resonance starts firing off very negatively. And then if you go, well, I'm supposed to follow my resonance, so no. And then you go, well, wait. That's why there's got to be, like, this little bit of detachment from this whole experience, like the HCG and the resonance. And you're observing, and you're going, oh, I'm feeling all this stuff from the while I'm checking the resonance on that. And then, but I'm not going to make a decision right away. I'm going to just make sure that I have enough intellect to, you know, to balance the instinct so that I can actually make a good, you know, decision. So you thought about it a little bit more. And then you're like, okay, with that more, like, different perspective, that actually changes my resonance now.
Right.
Okay, now I'm going to make a decision based on that. So that's a good example.
Right. And you bring up a good point around, like, resonance and stuff. It's like you don't want to just pay attention to what's resonant, okay? When something's very unresonant, like there's a lot of dissonance building, a lot of resistance building, that's just as important for you to dig into because you don't need to be dealing with that. That means that there's something in there that needs to get smoothed out. And so, like... So usually,
it might not have something to do with changing the goal.
Right.
It's just maybe some different perspective.
But I think our knee-jerk reaction is to hide from dissonance, hide from resistance, to avoid it, or to just try and keep bulldozing through it. You don't want
to
do that.
Or to avoid the thing that it's showing dissonance to, which might be a dignified goal.
Right.
Right. Like, for instance, maybe someone, let's say YouTube, right? And they're like, oh, I'm scared. Right. What are people going to say about me?
Right.
Right. And so then that creates the dissonance. And then you don't end up doing it. But it could be a dignified goal. It could be so aligned with the man part of your map. It's like you're meant to talk to people and use your voice. And yet your limited perspective, so let's call it intellect, is mixing with the instincts going, wah. and then you just say, forget it. I'm not going to do it.
Right.
That's not God mode.
Right. And so that's why I just love this God mode stuff so much. Because, like, when you get this perspective down, it's literally just like you surf through life. You're, like, grabbing onto, like, you know, riding these sweet waves of resonance. But then you, like, run into these knots of dissonance and you just, like, poke them and you prod them and you open them up. And then you find the little, it's like a Rubik's cube. And you're like, oh, here's the part that clicks all this into place. And then all of a sudden a whole new wave gets unlocked and you ride that. And it's just like you're living on this energetic, spiritual sort of plane. And I think that's really what it means to be living, like, in the spirit. So of God. Mm. And that's why, you know, we do this stuff. So
bam. Woo. I love it.
Yeah.
There we go.
Say something.
Well, I like to listen to you guys and then try to dumb it down in my own head so I can understand it better. And one of the things that Mark said earlier that sparked something was he was talking about the biggest reason, one of the biggest reasons why guys do not set goals that are achievable, or they try to just set too many goals at once. And he's talking about dignity, and it reminded me, I was just on a walk the other day thinking about that exact topic, and it occurred to me, there is not enough time to be impatient.
Wait, there's not enough time. I have to dumb it down. See?
Well, look at it this way. It goes back to the slow is smooth. Slow is smooth, smooth is fast thing. When you're learning a song on guitar, for example, right? Let's say you want to learn a guitar riff.
Yeah.
Okay? If I plow through it at full speed, over and over and over and over and over again, I will never be Stevie Ray Vaughan. Okay? If I want to be Stevie Ray Vaughan, I got to take Scuttle Button or whatever that song is. And I got to slow it down so much that I cannot mess it up.
Right.
And then when I go full speed after practicing it so slowed down that I cannot make a mistake, then it clicks. Yeah. And it comes together.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is the dignity, right? Because ultimate, like, part of this whole system, and it's not just our system, but it's the faith, right? That's why we couldn't resist bringing our faith and what we know about it into God mode, because we're loved. We are dignified. We have worth. It doesn't actually matter. And all this stuff, if we don't achieve these things, it doesn't matter. What matters is how we operate in life, how we move through it, you know? And so usually when people put a bunch of goals out there, like a lot of them at once, like we want to get there as fast as possible. Oftentimes, yes, it's because I need to feel
insecurity
that's inside of me.
Right.
Yeah. I don't feel my dignity. I don't feel my worth. Right. I don't feel the love, I don't feel loved.
Right.
And that's not true. So when you're operating from within our faith or whatever, if you don't have the faith and you're watching, like, and you know, if you just know that you have dignity and you're worth, you know, you're worth a ton. if you have that, then all this stuff becomes play. And then, like you were saying, Mark, the quality of our work, the quality of the way you interact in this, it's totally different.
Yeah.
And now you can actually go in, like, with actual, well, without all the clutter, right, and dissonance, you know?
And that's actually a great example of, like, how if you're in the wrong, like, resonance space, how you end up getting more of what you don't want. So it's like the people who are trying to do too much at once, okay? They're coming from this emotional resonance of inadequacy. They try and do too much at once. What happens? They don't get anywhere, and they get more of that feeling of inadequacy. And it's just,
or
like,
they get it, and then they go, whoa, there's no pot of gold at the end of the rainbow.
I would
because
say
they got the thing, maybe. And they still feel the thing that they were trying to fill because they didn't already have the.
I would say that would be different. Like, I think people who try and do too much at once, they just usually don't get it almost always. But like in the case of someone who's maybe they're focused, but they're moving from this place of inadequacy, they're going to pick something that maybe on one part of them sounds valuable, but when they get it, all of a sudden it doesn't resonate with all of them and it doesn't actually fill them up. So it's just like this whole idea of like, you gotta start with your dignity. You gotta start with your, you know, you gotta have the HCG set. You gotta have your target resonance set, and then you build your goals from there. That's the recipe for success, especially when you're founded in the man aspects of, you know, your the dignity, the callings, and the style, all that kind of stuff. It all lines up. So, you know, I think we're pretty much at time here, and I just want to encourage all you guys, if you like what we're talking about, make sure you click the link below and you download the God Mode Operating System Guide. We put a lot of effort into it. I think that it's really powerful when you start utilizing this thing. It'll give you a framework for orienting yourself and unlocking high performance in your life. And particularly you Christian leaders out there, you know, your business owners, influencers, you know, people who are running ministries, that kind of thing. Like, we want to help you. Okay. We want to help you unleash your potential so that you can be the radiant force of good in this world, because the world desperately needs you. So click the link, check it out. Thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you, Pete. Thank you, Derek, for being here. And ooh, yop, everybody. See you in the next one.